Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up, or more popularly known as, what am I watching? What is this mess? What's going on with these couples? I'm here as your conductor, Puya Zambakili, aboard the Hot Mess Express to talk about all of the nonsense that went on here today. And I am not alone. It gives me great pleasure to welcome back to the podcast my co-driver for a lot of these last couple months of coverage. It's Mr. Reality TV Podcasting himself, Rob Cesternino. Rob, how are you doing today?
Yes. Oh, Puya, I'm great. I am here in my Blacklight studio, ready to donate what I have to the podcast.
Yeah, for this studio, we recommend no cell phones, no calls, no video calls, nothing. Keep the phone switched off, please. Yes, it's lovely to have you back, Rob.
Yes, well, I've never podcast by myself before, so that they would be it would be a challenge.
Yeah, there's a first time for everything.
I've only always podcasted with a partner.
Right, and no worries today, because you won't have to go through it alone either. Today's not that day, but maybe another day. Another day, another time. So Rob, you've been away a couple weeks now. The mice have been playing, talking about the season. You've been up to date with everything. What are your thoughts been for the last 3 weeks of watching the show?
I mean, I feel like the season is really heated up. I feel like that it's been great stuff. I was a little worried when I wasn't going to be doing the podcast that I would fall out with 90 Day Fiance, but I can't turn it off. Like, we didn't have this schedule that I was going to come back. I just have been enjoying the show so much that I wanted to talk about it some more. I'm so excited to talk some more.
And happy to have you, Rob. Yeah, a little behind the scenes for those of you listening here. Rob and I, you know, we message about the show as it goes on because, you know, we can't help ourselves. And Rob was like, next week looks wild. I was like, if we can make it happen, Rob, let's talk about it. And here we are. And wild it was, Rob. Wild it was.
And let me just add that, you know, last week I listened to you and Mari talk about the show and you both did such a good job talking about these couples as like real people with real issues, and it feels like a totally different show. And so I just want to apologize in advance because I cannot bring that humanity to talking about this show. These are the some of the dumbest people I think that are out there, and I'm just looking forward to talking about all the insanity.
Now I can't wait to unpack it. Yeah, I find myself with 90 Day. I oscillate. Like one week I'll be here dunking on them, and then the next week I'm like, "Well, listen. So the psychology behind this action, there's no psychology here. Everyone is left, right, and center doing dumb stuff, and
at least one person in every couple is incredibly dumb."
Yes. And then in some cases, it's a double banger. It's both barrels of stupid. So
dumb on dumb crime that happens on this show.
Yeah, it's a dumb combo happening. It really is a lot. But I will say we're going to unpack one of the lighter boxes today. Let's talk about Brandon and Julia to start off the night, Rob. So Brandon and Julia, they've moved away from the farm and now they can embrace a new life with just the two of them. Now tell me, what have you thought about them finally leaving the farm?
Yeah, it's fine. Great. They're out of the farm. You know, I like some Ron and Betty coming by, but okay, fine. Beat that storyline into the ground. Great. Brandon and Julia are off on their own. So yeah, it seems fine.
Yeah, and they're doing what every, you know, couple might do in most cases, have a housewarming party. So they went about, they shopped their stuff. They're having AJ, Melanie, and Melanie's partner back again.
TJ.
TJ, there we go. AJ, TJ, and Melanie. What? Too much. That's too much. I couldn't get myself to say it. So yeah, Melanie and TJ, we are familiar with because the last time they ventured off the farm is when they got into that screaming match at the brewery with them. So here comes round two. This is a housewarming party. AJ, though, first time we're meeting him, AJ is the guy who was in charge of introducing the two of them.
Julia actually likes this guy. So this is a first.
It takes a lot to be okay in Julia's books. And he somehow made it. But he seems great. I liked the interactions we saw with him. He seems like a stand-up guy.
But why on earth did Brandon think this was a good idea to invite Melanie, let alone TJ? I mean, TJ, this guy must have like lost a bet that he gets dragged along on all these horrible double dates with Brandon and Julia. But why did anybody think this was going to be a good idea to invite Melanie back?
Yeah. TJ is just trying to live his life. He's a mellow guy. And then he gets put in these high stress situations. Not only is Melanie back after Melanie and Julia had that bad conversation, but they're in a smaller confined space. Yep. They're literally, it's door, kitchen, bedroom. There's nowhere else for them to go. Yeah, so they're all huddled there. Yeah. And Julia's not one to make amends. So this was only going to go poorly for them.
My favorite part of the last exchange between Brandon and Julia with TJ and Melanie was that when like Julia is like going off, that as she's like storming out of the restaurant, that Brandon says to her, like, why can't you just act normal? She says, I am normal. And they always show that clip. I love that.
This is a great clip from them. I do agree. But like, she was anything but normal at this housewarming party. No offense to Julia. Yeah.
I feel like that anytime you're just yelling like, I am normal. I don't know. It feels like something's off.
It's never one of those things. Like, it's one of those things where if you have to say it, it's probably not the case. So does not help her case here either. So Julia and Melanie, they look like they're patching things up. Then in confessional, Julia says, nope, this doesn't help. I'm not
fine. Which was a very valid question, I thought, from Julia, because this was a terrible idea from the jump.
Melanie chose violence by agreeing to show up to this. Like, Melanie could have just stayed at home with TJ, had a night in, watch some Netflix, eat some nuggets. They didn't do that. They just have to come out here to Brandon's place, who Brandon can't even open a bottle of wine to save his life. He was mutilating that cork. It was not great. Did not like that technique.
Didn't seem to know that there's like some foil that needs to be taken off the wine.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't need to come with instructions. Like, it's very simple. Take the foil off, put the corkscrew in, you yank it out. It's not that difficult, Brandon. But I will give him this. What is difficult is when Julia starts talking about the plan she has for the apartment. So. Yes. Julia pulls up and says, okay, so this is my vision. I want to put a pole in the living room for dancing. I'm like, okay, that's good. Yeah. It's a good workout. Good workout. Then Brandon makes the joke of, yeah, well, dancing and then a little bit of cooking and then dancing. And I thought, okay, Brandon, relax. You need to calm down. But then Julia, Rob,
I think would appreciate having the pole in the kitchen, right?
Jovi would literally buy that pole today. If that was the case, he would definitely finance that immediately. But Brandon then gets hit with a blindside here where Julia says, and maybe like a little bed for a baby in that corner over there.
This whole sequence was wild because she says that as like, okay, maybe we'll have a crib for the baby. And then everybody's like, Julia, do you know what this means? A baby? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, I feel like everybody was like a little bit like, if I'm at a party and somebody says something, I'm like, oh, really? Oh, baby. Okay. That's interesting. And on the car ride home, have the decency to say, can you believe she's talking about having a baby? They all like call her out to her face. Like, Julia, do you know what this means? Like, you're 27. Your whole life is in front of you. It's all about the baby. And then she gets like all defensive. And then Brandon is all like, I think the people are making some good points here, Julia. Like, I don't know. It's just like, what a buzzkill for the whole party of like, everybody has to like, can't just like, boy, that was a weird moment and just like, let it go.
Honestly, you will never find me being in a situation like that where something that big gets dropped. Immediately you look at Brandon's face. He's seen a ghost. He does not want to talk about this. It's so easy to be like, so what are those boxes over there? Why haven't you unpacked those? Like, just change the subject to literally anything. Oh, this wine is really good. It really isn't much, because for me, what I would never do is immediately face that head on, because first of all, it's none of my business. Second of all, I can tell Brandon cannot take care of anything, let alone a whole baby. Right. And I'm not trying to, again, I've seen how Julia reacts, especially if I'm Melanie and TJ, who've seen it firsthand, I am not talking about this. This was a big, big misstep by them.
Well, yeah. Is this just me or last season on regular 90 Day Fiance, when Brandon and Julia had a pregnancy scare, wasn't Julia like very relieved not to be with child? I mean, what am I missing? Like, this is what? How many months later where that she went from, okay, I'm so happy that I'm not pregnant, to here's the spot with the crib. Like, what happened? Like, just because they're not at the farm?
Yeah, so for me, it's interesting because I do think that it's not been that much time having gone past. I think it has to do with the fact that they have their own place. It's no longer the farm. And she doesn't have to take care of animals now. She's a little bit more settled and feeling comfortable to proceed to the next chapter, right? It's like, well, first we got to move out of this place before I think of anything else. And now she's thinking, maybe I want a baby. But I will say, I thought like three episodes ago, she wanted to go back to, you know, working and stuff. So to hear the baby and then hear Brandon talk about her cooking, I'm like, well, what did we miss something, or did they just change their minds? I'm not sure. What's very abundantly clear to me now, and the breaking news of all this, is in the confessional later where Brandon says, I'm gonna be checking all the condoms to make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I was like, hold on, did you grow? Did you change your trajectory? Because if we remember last season, not a fan of the condoms.
I think he got scared from the first pregnancy scare. But what is he saying, that Julia is going to like poke holes in the condoms before they use them to trick him?
I think that's the implication. Lying. It's a huge accusation to throw out there.
A major accusation.
Yeah, do not love this from Brandon. I mean, needless to say, Brandon
get, like a flashlight and be like, hold on.
I picture him with like a jeweler's magnifying glass, like eyepiece. It's like, okay, the quality of this one. Yeah, it's latex. Yeah, it's good. It's good. No problems found. Mint condition, 9 out of 10. Okay, we can go from here. I think obviously, needless to say, Brandon not handling this great. Julia not handling this great, bringing it up at the wrong time. It's a huge misstep. And this party, it's sad to call it a party, but this party's pretty much over. And Julia storms out, goes to the bedroom to have her own party and watch TV. And honestly, sounds like a better party to me.
sounds like a better party. Brandon and Julia, that we don't need a baby.
Yeah, you are good for now. So it's very clear, though, that they talked in the confessional that they have realized, oh, there are other issues. It wasn't just the parents. We might be on completely different plans and outlines for what our lives are going to look like. And I think that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, their whole storyline is like, do they even have money for this apartment, let alone to have a baby?
Yeah, this is one of those things where I have a feeling we're going to see a future episode where they're going to be getting a visit from Ron and Betty. This subject's going to come up, and then Ron is going to mouth off about how they're not ready for this either. I do think it's one of those things where they've not put a lot of thought behind it. And again, I'm just very confused as well, because I did not hear Julia mention this before. So this is very new to me.
This does seem out of left field. I think that Betty is going to be the I want a grandbaby vibes. So I definitely could see her being pro baby. But I think that Ron and Betty's angle is going to be like, well, if you're going to have a baby, you can't support the baby in this apartment. You need to move back to the farm. We have all this room, and the baby is going to love. Babies love animals. You need to come live at the farm, Brandon.
And I think that at that point, I could see Brandon being like, well, listen, if we want a baby, that's what we need to do. It's not going to end well. Yeah. I'm worried for Brandon and Julia. But that's all we got from them. We didn't get all that much else from them. So it looks like the next time on doesn't really have them in it. So I think we're getting another week off with them, which is fine. I'm okay with that.
They could use a week off. I'm sure the ride home for Melanie and TJ, I think TJ is just going off like, if you ever bring me to another thing with these two people, like, that's it. I'm done, Melanie. I can't do it anymore. It's too much. All they do is fight.
No gain for either of us. either. No gain for either of us. So we can't be going back anymore. I like that for TJ. Let's hope that it works out. Speaking of drives back home, though, Rob, we saw one this episode at the conclusion of their scene. But let's talk about the beginning of their scene. Let's go to Mike and Natalie, who tell me, Rob, you were not here for last week's episode, but they broke the fourth wall, the fifth wall, the sixth wall.
I loved it so much that I thought I was on the edge of my seat with Mike and Natalie last week. And I thought that was like so powerful. Just watching the whole sequence play out with Mike and Natalie, like we've never seen this before, where a couple goes from like doing their interview to like a knockdown, drag out fight with like talking to like the producers, and like you know, Mike is like standing up, like you see what I'm dealing with here, it was good, get the phone, call her right now. I have to say that, like, I feel like we're usually pretty hard on Mike, who's, like, admittedly not great, but I kind of felt like more sympathy for Mike these last couple of weeks than I have for everything going on with Julia, with Natalie. What the hell is going on here?
I'm very confused by this room. Based on what I'm realizing here, Natalie's essentially moved out, right? So I think Natalie realizes this relationship is not working for me. This is not good. Every time we're in the same room, we're arguing. So by removing herself, they technically can't argue, but also she's not at home, his home base. Like, she's not playing the away game of he has home territory, he has control, he's going to spin the narrative. So she's left, which is working out for her, but it's turning Mike stir crazy, because now Mike cannot talk to her, cannot get anything going on. And I will say, should they talk and have things going on? If she moved back, would it be like, you know, rainbows and peaches? No, because I do think he would find a way to argue with her again. But I also do not like the idea of, you know, just end it. Just please end it. I hate this limbo that you're in where you've left, but you've not ended it. So,
yeah. What do you think about the whole hooker gate of that Mike's mom allegedly called Natalie a hooker? Like, I've seen like some conspiracy theories that there actually is footage that maybe this did happen. Do you think there's any chance we get at the reunion? Like, actually, we do have the footage of here. Let's go back to the kitchen and see what this is all about.
1,000%. If I had to put money on anything on 90, it's that at the reunion, we're getting that footage, because if they're putting it on the show this much, they have to have a result for it. And I do think that, because I've been saying, Rob, I don't think the word hooker was said. I'm very, very clearly, Trish does not mess with Natalie. Trish does not want Natalie in the picture at all. But I don't think she would have said hooker at this Thanksgiving day. You know, I just don't see that happening. But I think something got mistranslated, but also the feelings are negative already, so it wouldn't be far-fetched if she had said it. But the fact that this is the catalyst, though, of the whole thing really says something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just the whole situation with Mike and Natalie has just gone, so much damage that's been done already. Like, there's just no love there. Like even if hypothetically Mike's mom did call Natalie a hooker, like hypothetically, even if she did, like, if there's love there, I feel like that they can overcome this, that it just feels like that this is it. Like, Natalie decided this is the line in the sand. It's never coming back from this. It's never getting better. And I know we've said this 10 million times. They need to end it. I mean, the wild new part of this equation is, who the hell is Juliana? What is going on here? Why did Natalie give all of Mike's Christmas presents to Juliana and her family? Yeah.
Juliana and Natalie's relationship is an interesting one to me.
What is this?
Because I can't tell if Juliana's taking on a motherly role, a best friend role, a savior role, maybe all in one. It's a lot of things. And I feel like we've not seen enough of Juliana to really pinpoint what the nature of the relationship is there. But she's pretty much come in and swept Natalie away from Mike, to the point where we see them talking on bed. So in this episode, Mike tries to call her at the beginning. She's not answering. The next scene we see, then he calls his mom. And Rob, again, and I cannot stress this enough. I don't think there's any other human in the world that would call their mom. And when their mom picks up, says, "What's up, you punkosaurus?"
Yeah, Mike has a weird relationship with his mom. I think that that's been well established that he says his mom is more like his best friend. It's a weird relationship.
Yeah, they're here for Mother Boy. Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. They're here for Mother Boy. Okay. The next scene we see, Natalie's at Juliana's, and she basically is sharing a lot with Juliana. Like everything about Mike and her's relationship, Juliana knows. Juliana's comforting her with tea, with little hugs, with pets, reassuring her that everything's going to be okay, then offers her up a stay with her permanently.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Again, this is wild. I feel like that at the very least, Juliana is obsessed with Natalie. I don't know if Natalie necessarily like reciprocates like the obsession. I think that that Natalie is happy to have somebody like be giving her all this attention, but Juliana seems like her world revolves around Natalie, which certainly is more than Mike ever does in terms of Natalie. So I definitely see the appeal from Natalie's perspective, but just seems like that, Juliana is just has this. It's a weird relationship. Now, Puya, I don't have any friends. Okay. I don't know what it's like if I had a close guy friend, maybe I would like go to his house and like just complain about my wife. And then there would be, it would be different. I don't know what that's like. Okay. So, I who's to say? Not me. But that being said, it's weird. I was mortified when Mike, like hysterical Mike, was last week. And I'm trying to see if I could do it. Like Mike just went into like this register. And is like, Natalie, why don't you tell them what happened when you came to my house the other night? We made love and you left. You left me and you went to her house. You didn't stay with me. Like he was like hysterical at the last episode.
Yeah, high pitched Mike, like flustered Mike, is very funny to listen to.
Yeah.
Not since Andrew from last season have we had a better
love and you left.
Like relax, you big baby.
You could just say like you the other night you came to here, you came and you left.
It's one of those things where it's like once someone hits that register, they've lost all power. In this instance with Mike, because he's trying to be like the tough, like I don't care, unapologetic with Natalie. But then once he hit that register, I was like, oh, you are guilty. You are in the wrong. Stop it. I couldn't tell you, Rob. I couldn't tell you what this situation is right now, because I think that it's very clear that Natalie is finding solace in Juliana, who is from her background, more familiar with her, with her culture. So they definitely share that bond. When they were, talking over tea, I felt that as a Persian, if someone brings you a cup of tea and you're down, that's where the conversation starts spilling. But I do think she's like really invested a lot of her emotional distress in Juliana by sharing everything. So I think they're just very close. Finish it off. And it sounds like she's getting there, right? It sounds like she's calling time on this. And it looked like they packed the car up with a couple empty suitcases. And Juliana said, just move in with me. Now they're going over to Mike's place in Squim to move her. I didn't realize that Juliana lived a ferry ride away.
Is that why it's such a long commute for Mike to, does he have to take the ferry every day?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where Mike's
to Juliana's house.
That's the confusing part to me, because we know he wakes up at like 4 or 5 in the morning to get on this drive to work. And then Natalie's taking this ferry ride to Juliana's. So it's very confusing. One thing that should be clear, so they should
have a Sequim ferry to Seattle. The ferry.
Okay, so then Juliana must be in Seattle then.
Well, perhaps.
Unless there's other routes.
Yeah. Okay. Huh. So yeah, it looks like Seattle's on the other side of. Now we're learning. We're learning so much.
Yeah, we're learning a whole lot about them, which I hate because I would rather not learn anything about them because I don't care about them. But Natalie goes over to the house at Squim. It's still daylight outside. I thought maybe Mike's at work. Nope, Mike's at home. She walks in. We do not know what's going to happen next. The next time on, they will be on next episode. So we'll see. Rob, if you had to make a prediction, how is that argument going to go?
I don't know. Like Mike yells, and then I feel like that she's very cold. Like their fighting style, like is not a good mesh. And at the times, like we've seen her get hot, then he's sort of like withdrawn. They're a disaster couple. They're the worst relationship I've ever seen in my life, and they should not have ever gotten married. I don't even know like what her end game is. Like that Trish calls her a snake in the grass. Like what does she want? What is she trying to do? Like that I don't know what her end game is. So it just seems like that this is a bad couple. Like I think maybe they stayed together for the TLC of it all and to be on these shows. And maybe is Natalie feeling like, hey, I'm going to like spin this into being on 90 Day the Single Life. Because do you know, like, what are the ramifications of her, like, staying in the country? Like, now that they got married, does she need to stay married to Mike for a certain amount of time?
So it's confusing because I don't know their exact timeline. But basically, after they got married, if they filed for the adjustment of status, she would have and she got approved for it. She would be given a temporary green card, which is valid for 2 years. Then at the 2 year mark, they revisit to make sure everything's working, like you've got the job, if the relationship's still going on and stuff like that. So I believe I'm going to assume she's in that period right now where she got the temporary 2 year green card. And then from there, if they're not together, I think she can still maintain it if she's potentially working. I'm not sure what happens if they're not. I think them being together is important for it, but I can only imagine there's got to be a way for her to maintain status potentially. And of course, if anyone wants to fact check this and let us know on Twitter, please do so. But if there must be a shot clock on it, and I'm going to assume it's the 2 year period at this point. But as far as the two of them go, we said this at the finale of last season of regular 90. They need to not be together.
Yeah.
The fact that we're on episode 14 of this new season and we're still saying this, put us out of our misery, please. Please
just end it. And like, you know, I'm up for, you know, Juliana and Julia being or Natalie being like buddy roommates. That's fine. Give them their own TLC show. But enough with this.
So just one last question about them. Really? So I have one last question for you, Rob. Then we can move over to the next couple.
Yeah.
If for 90 Day, the Single Life, Single Life Season 2, if you had to, let's say you have no choice in the matter, you have to have either Mike or Natalie on there spinning off as a single, who would you want to be there?
So I think that Mike is actually very boring. I don't think that would be super interesting to see him going out on other dates. I think that Natalie is the person that tends to have a problem with everything. And I see her like going on dates with different people. Like I see her getting like really excited about going on a date with a new guy and then realizing, oh, wait, he eats meat. That like, you know, she has all these different things that she has issues with. And then I think that watching her date, I think would be more interesting.
Yeah, I think that I would also side that way because what I learned after last season was without Uncle Bo, Mike is nothing. And if they don't bring back Uncle Bo, we don't need to see Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, make no mistake, Mike sucks, but I think that he's just sort of like a man of like a limited emotional intelligence who has unrealistic expectations and mother issues. But I think that Natalie is just, you know, drama nonstop.
Yeah, she really is.
Actually be happy with somebody else.
I could see it. I could definitely see it. What I can't see is happiness in this next family we're going to talk about. Let's go over to Libby and Andre.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God.
Your favorite family.
Why does everybody complain so much about them, Puya? Well, I mean, this family is drama city.
Because, Rob, we're tired. Like, we've seen this drama rinse and repeat for like four seasons now. So on the first watch, it was great. Yeah. Fourth season, I'm like, yo, the script is the same still.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like that. I didn't see this coming where I think that Andre is Chuck's favorite kid. Like, I'm like, I think that he's won over Chuck. And not so much because he is a scammer or that he's done anything manipulative. I think that Chuck is like, oh, actually, all of my own children do suck. That they're all horrible people and bad at their jobs. And Andre, who might be of like, you know, limited talents in some areas, at least is a hard worker, at the very least. Like, at least Andre has a good work ethic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put this guy on Big Brother. Apparently, he's so good that he was able to turn Chuck on the whole family. I do kid, of course, because it's very evident. I mean, Andre's coming in. I understand, and I said this last week, I understand that when he made that grandiose, like, you need to give me 100K, it was ridiculous, and he got ridiculed for it accordingly. But make no mistake, the guy is very clearly motivated, working hard. He wants to not only prove himself, but he wants to jumpstart a business. So he's clearly keen on learning and putting in the work. Chuck mentioned something that I think doesn't get mentioned enough, in that he literally needs to work to maintain his immigration status. So of course he's going to work hard. Mm-hmm. Of course he's going to put in the time. And if he was able to turn Chuck's viewpoint on this, it makes it very clear to me that what we've been thinking this whole time is true, is that the kids are just threatened by him coming in and doing a better job because they were not doing much before he showed up.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a classic story of that you have like a person who is like new to this country. And it's like a classic story that like those are some of like the hardest working people that are out there. Like, there's a ton of like business owners who are people that were like not born in America who come to this country and realize like, hey, I have to like have a really good work ethic and work really hard and work tirelessly to like build a new life in the country. And then you have like the rich kids of the guy who built up a business who are sort of like spoiled and entitled and actually not very good at their jobs because they got them because their dad owns the company. And in this battle between Andre and the offspring of Chuck, of course, Andre is like way more motivated and helpful to Chuck.
Yeah, it's very easy equation for all of us looking in. It's very clear what's happening here, and we know who's right, we know who's wrong, but you could never tell this to the rest of the family because they just don't understand. They just don't see it. They're blinded by envy and selfishness and greed and delusion, and it's just so hard to steer them any other way. Now, what do you think of Chuck's equation of bringing everyone together, having a cookout that will fix all the problems?
I think this is one cookout that is not going to be triumphant this summer, Puya.
And right you are. Not on this show. This is the wrong show.
That is going to crash and burn and fail miserably.
Yeah, this cookout will last exactly one episode, not 30. So it's a wild concept because we've seen Chuck keep trying to do this. I'm going to bring the family together for the RV trip, and that'll solve our problems. I'm going to bring them to the reunion. It'll solve. I bring them to the cookout. And I like that he says, well, who doesn't love a cookout? I agree with you. Cookouts are great. Barbecue is amazing. My favorite foods. Love all of it. But that is not enough to heal this nonsense, because especially he doesn't know this, but we see the next scene where Jen and Becky have met up at, I want to say, Becky's house, or sorry, Jen's house. And they're talking about this whole cookout thing, and they're talk it, and they're calling Andre an entitled brat.
Can I ask a question? Like, I'm sort of like losing the thread of the show here. Like, hold on, why are we like filming Jen and Becky at their house coming up with plans that are to thwart Chuck? Of like, what the hell is this? Like, why are we following these side characters? Like, why are the cameras even at Jen and Becky's house? Andre and Libby aren't even there. What the hell?
Dave,
what is this?
This is their dreams come true, Rob. I've been saying this. This family wants their own spinoff so bad. And I don't know if they think we need their angle, because trust me, if they didn't show us this scene, we could have guessed what happened at this hangout very easily. So I they're not compelling television either, neither Becky or Jen at all to warrant a camera on them solo, because the focus of the story should still be, we're following either Andre or Libby with the camera. Not here the two sisters who don't like him and they're going to complain about him again on camera.
Evil stepsisters of Libby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're going to start their own competing business to Chuck. Please. I love it. I love this so much.
Same. Please do it. It'd be so funny to watch them file for bankruptcy 4 months in. It'd be so funny. I would love that. And then, okay, so here's the other thing. Do they not love their own sister? Do they hate Libby too? Because they talk about Libby being a scammer.
Yes. See, this is what she does. She's so manipulative. I know. Oh my God. She always does this. Dad, like, they talk about their dad like he is like a senile moron.
They really do. They have no respect for him.
Is, like, he always gets tricked by Andre and Libby. They're always tricking him and he doesn't know any better. And he always just like does what they want. It's like, he doesn't see that we're actually much better at our jobs than Andre is.
I feel like this reeks to me of Chuck must have gotten scammed at one point and they lost all respect for him and they just don't see him the same way.
Is
like,
that he responded.
Yeah, he responded to that email of, hey, if you send me $10,000 today, I can double it for you. He was like, okay, sure. And then they found out now they're not going to let it ever go. I feel bad for Chuck because I do think he's a dummy, okay? But he's a nice, he's a meaning well dummy. I really do think he means well. I think he at least knows more about this business than any of the other kids, for sure.
Yeah.
But bless his dumb heart, man. He wants to do this cookout. We see the scene for next time on. I'm so excited. Because this upcoming week, there's, you know, the boxing event is in the air with Big Brother. And then we're going to get the one-on-one bout between Andre and Charlie on the next episode as well.
Yeah, maybe they could get like the 90 Day Fiance boxing pay-per-view.
Me and you discussed this once, Rob. Yeah. I think there's money on the table there. And I think there's intrigue on the table. You put Andre versus Charlie as the headliner. The next one could be Colini versus Tammy as the undercard. That would be great. It'll make itself very easily.
Julie versus Melanie.
Ooh, Julie versus Melanie would be good. Michael versus his relationship. That would be a good one as well. It'd be a tough one. I think he will get knocked out, but that's fine. Yeah. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be very fun. I'd be very into that.
Puya, next time on the cookout, do you think that Chuck is going to be like, all right, well, Andre, I'm going to need you to work the barbecue because, you know, that it's, you know, the grill's hot and, sure, Chuck. Yes. I think I'll have to work for a barbecue. And then Jen and Beck be like, Dad, do you see what he's doing to those burgers? Do you see that he flipped too soon? Do you see this? Do you see this? What he's doing to the hot dogs? That they're totally burnt on one side. And like, yeah, because you're distracting me. I can't. It's going to be the same exact thing.
Oh, 100%, Rob. It's going to be rinse and repeat, just new setting. It's like, okay, we're all fighting and accusing each other, but over burgers now. And make no mistake, there is no world. Andre could literally be the best man at a grill. They will not give him that ever. No. So they will find something wrong with the meats for sure. Mm-hmm. I just don't see this being ending well for anybody. I do think that I will say this. We've seen Charlie and Andre like go head to head a couple of times on this show now. This looks to be the most serious. Like they're on the ground rolling about. So this will be explosive.
RIP Charlie.
Yeah, he's gone. He's getting knocked out. I mean, no offense, Charlie, but you are nothing compared to Andre for sure.
Andre, and again, is going to kill you. Charlie, RIP to a feeble idiot who could not even run any part of Chuck's business successfully. You will be missed, Charlie.
I love that Charlie walks in. So in the next time on Charlie walks in, like he's a heel at a WWE event, he just walks out and starts cussing out Andre. And I hate that Andre's the hero here.
Chance, that's what you've got.
Yeah. He does have like Shane McMahon douche energy from Charlie.
I definitely see it. I 100% see it. And he's the guy who, if you want a heel to make a face turn, you put him against this guy. It'll happen easily. Anyone against him. If you put, who do I dislike most other than him? Honestly, there's not many people. Put Big Ed. Big Ed with him. Actually, I might say Big Ed more. Let's not talk about Big Ed. That's fine. That's fine. We went too many episodes not talking about him. Let's continue that trend. Yeah, I'm excited for this cookout episode for sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think whatever 90 Day property comes next that the Elizabeth and Andre family continues on?
Honestly, it's not impossible. So actually, the next one that's coming on was announced last week or the week prior. 90 Day the Other Way. The Other Way has been confirmed. It's very similar casting to this season where they've brought back like four of the couples from the previous season, just continuing that trend. I think there's two new couples. So obviously they can't be a part of that. I do think that there is a slight chance that they could get their own spinoff. I really do. And I hate to say it because, Rob, I 2 weeks ago I announced I want to start
a podcast.
Yeah, I wanted to start doing this at the end of the podcast where I'm calling it 90 Second Fiance, where I use about 5 minutes. I think I'm going to put a timer on it to kind of quickly speed up people on spinoffs that are happening, like Love in Paradise. Darcy and Stacey is out with a new season. So I've never watched Darcy and Stacey before. And the context for this is Darcy was on 90 Day before the 90 Day for two seasons with two different people. And she has a twin, Stacey. And this just follows their lives, a spinoff for them. I watched the first three episodes and it is ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. So that makes me believe that anyone can get a spinoff now.
After the episode last night?
I believe so, because I still watch them on Discovery Plus. I don't get the ads or any promos, but I do think that would be the one because it is currently airing a season two. So I'm trying to catch up with it. All that to be said, Rob, I do think the family Libby, it's not impossible that they get their own show, especially if they're like, let's move them off of this and put them over there. I could see it, sadly.
Yeah. I do want to check out, what is it called? You, Me, and My Ex, that I see. I watched.
That sounds intriguing.
Yeah. I tried to put on one of the Sister Wives shows one night, and then Nicole was getting mad. She's like, this is so, I hate this. I was like, no, this is interesting. No.
Yeah, they
people.
What's it called? You, Me, and My Ex's episode list. It's expect the unexpected is one of them, and then Hot Mess Express. They're going out of the way to make sure there's an X in every title, which is pretty fun.
So you're talking about Darcy and Stacey.
That's the one. That is the one. And
what's the relationship between Darcy and Stacey?
They're twins. They're twin sisters. So Darcy had a fiance from the Netherlands in the first season. Then she was with a British man in the next time we saw her. And then her sister Stacy has a fiance who actually came over on the 90 day visa this season of the first season of Darcy and Stacy. So they're both very similar in where they're going, and it's just following them and their family and everything. And it's, again, I can't stress this enough, it is a mess. And 90 days a mess. This is way more unhinged mess. So I'll be talking about it at some point when I finally catch up.
Yeah. But
all of that to say, I could see the family Libby coming back again another season.
Yeah. You know, Puya, it's weird. Here we are 2021, you know, like, I didn't think we'd be 2 years into a pandemic and TLC would be my thing. I didn't, I mean, like, you would have told me 5 years ago, like, hey, you're going to be really into a lot of TLC shows, global pandemic. I said, get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, hey, during the pandemic, we've all picked up hobbies and interests that we would never would have expected. And TLC happens to be yours. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be really into this guy, Chuck, and his business. What's going on with his kids? Like, okay.
TLC's slogan should really be watch us because you'll feel better about yourself. Be like, yep, you're very right about that. I feel very good about myself, especially when we talk about this next couple, Rob. Let's go to Jovi and Yara. Let's go to Miami. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is so stupid.
Tell me why.
I mean, so Jovi has been like beating this drum for the last couple of episodes of, you know, Yara, when we first got together, she's be fun. She'd go to the club, we go out drinking, but now she's, now she wants to do what? What's the baby's name? Mila?
Mila.
We'll do Mila. I mean, I did think it was ridiculous when Yara kicked out Jovi's family. like, there was no reason why the whole, like, it's like, okay, I have to put Mila to bed. Okay, fine. There was no need for Yara to kick out like the whole family. So I thought Yara was in the wrong then. But then he's like, okay, we're going to go to Miami. We're going to go on a trip. We're going to take Gwen. Yara tells Jovi, she's like, no, that like I was always a grandma this whole time. Like I wasn't. I was never fun. Jovi said she was, but they're going to go out and they go to a dinner. And then this stupid idiot is gonna get he even gets Yara to agree to go to the strip club, which was like a crazy idea in the first place. Mm-hmm. But he got her to actually say yes to his dream. He says he doesn't like strippers, he just likes strip clubs. Okay, sure.
It's very weird. It's like, yeah, I don't like drinking, but I like going to a bar.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's not a thing.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I don't like bowling. I just like bowling alleys.
Right. Like, no. No one, if you're going to a bowling alley for the ambiance and not to, you know, strike down some pins, you're weird. And it's very similar here. He tries to equate going to a strip. It's like, well, you know, Europe has topless beaches. It's the same. No, sir. It is not the same. Mm-hmm. Stop
that. Yeah. And so, Yara. Like, I guess he gets a drink or two, in Yara, and he actually gets her to agree. All right, fine. I'll go to the strip club. Okay. And then this guy just like, he's like hitting on 18. He's hitting on 19. He's hitting on 20. He does not know when to, give it up because, it was a miracle. He got her into the strip club. Like they could have sat anywhere. They're going to sit like right in front of, this woman who's dancing on the pole. And look, Puya, that, I have not been at a strip club since COVID. I don't know if this is a revelation.
I can say the same. I can say the same. Yeah. Surprise to no one.
It's actually been quite a long time, but I have not been back since COVID. It would actually be not one of the first places I would go to. The COVID rules seem weird at the strip club, where I guess some people are wearing masks. You wear a mask, you walk through. I guess it's not on like a restaurant, but I digress. And they get right in front of some woman. And they're going to give me like, all right, here, make it rain, give her the money. And, you know, Yara, she's uncomfortable with all of this.
Right.
Not to mention, she just had a baby. I'm sure she's also like, very self-conscious. And now it's like, I'm going to sit here with my loser husband gawking at these, naked women, like 2 feet in front of me. Like it's not, again, like he got her in the building. That should have been the victory. Like go sit at a table in the back of the restaurant. Okay.
It's insane to me. So I was very curious, Rob, how did he get her to agree to go to this? These like 3 week buildup of this coming up. So ultimately it ends up being this joke about, you know, strip clubs, beaches are the same. But then the thing that bothered me most in the lead up to the strip club was him constantly calling her a boring mom, just beating this in of like, maybe if we do this, you'll be less of a boring mom. Like to the point where she feels now she has to prove herself to not be boring. So like you said, everything you described happened. He had that wad of cash real quick pulled out. He was ready to go.
Right. I mean, again, like when I talk about like hitting on 18, hitting on 19. He got her out of the house. They were out. They were drinking. Like this was your home run, Jovi. Like this was what you said you wanted. Like we gotta go out, we're gonna be drinking, gotta have fun, have a little. Like you didn't have to go to a strip club. The strip club did not need. It makes me think that unless the night ends in you being at a strip club, it is not a fun night in your book.
Yeah. Yeah. It really feels that way. And we did see at the beginning of the scene with them where Gwen, bless her heart, was like, hey, maybe you don't take her to a bar. Maybe you take her to a restaurant. She was the first person to lead him to something that she might enjoy.
And so, she seemed to like the restaurant.
Yeah, I think if he had just left it at, okay, we made it rain a little bit with a couple singles, we threw some money out, that would have been enough. They could have left. They had a good laugh, a good memory now. It's fine. But he kept pushing it. Like you mentioned, he tried to hit on 20, hit on 21. He kept going. And I think the line was already crossed far before this. But then when he asks her to, hey, here, put the money in the G-string. And she's like, I don't want to do that. And then he does it. She's clearly upset. Then he blows a kiss to the stripper.
Well, I think even before that, she's like, okay, Jovi, like, I want to go. And he's like,
yeah,
we just got here. I'm having fun. I want to stay here. Like, all right. Like, look, this is it's taking a turn.
Yeah.
We tried. It's not going well. Okay. Like, it's time to go. Jovi is like, no, we just got here. And then this stupid moron idiot ends up blowing a kiss to one of the dancers right in front of Yara. Like, what is wrong with this man?
And I absolutely love that he has the audacity, but yeah, I was joking. No, you were not joking. That was not the face of someone who's joking. Even in the confessional outside before they went into the strip club, he talked about, yeah, maybe like, you know, I can get, you know, we'll have some fun and maybe I can get a dance. He full on went in with the idea of maybe Yara will permit me to have a dance here.
Yeah,
that is a ridiculous notion.
Because she if she's there, it's, you know, that he's not breaking the rules if she's there.
Exactly. And so none of this goes well.
Technicality that Jovi feels like that maybe he can exploit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Rob. It's been a minute since I've thought about characters on TV, but he does not scream Dr. Loophole to me. Not a good one anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe a Dr. Loophole dropout, perhaps. But so she storms out. She's ready to leave. Can't blame her. And he follows her out again, belaboring this point that she's boring. What's your problem? You have to ruin every night. Yada, 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 yada. Yeah, I just do not understand this, Rob. To me, if she didn't want to leave Myla's side and she didn't want to go on a trip, and now I have her on a trip, I have her, you know, we've gone out to a nice dinner, we're having drinks.
You got everything you wanted.
Literally, what else do you need? And here's the wild notion, right? Jovi, did you not realize that even when you were dating, when she was, quote, fun Yara, y'all never went to the strip club together. This was never a thing she was into. So why do you think now, in order for her to be fun, she needs to go here? It's insane. This guy is on one, and I don't like it.
Yeah, there's something wrong with Jovi. That also, I will say that I have to think that there was some assistance from the producers of 90 Day Fiancé, maybe with the help of Jovi, where that they like, there's no chance that this is just like an organic thing that happened where they're at dinner and like, hey, how about we go to a strip club, where then the 90 Day Fiancé TLC cameras are rolling up to a strip club and are just going to be able to like start rolling and following the action in a strip club. Like that is the kind of thing that needs to be organized well in advance, I would imagine. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to bring your reality TV show cameras into a strip club unannounced.
Right. It's always one of those things where I believe, you know, there's got to be either permits or you got to make sure you have clearance. Because what happens if you roll up and they don't let you in? You know, so you definitely have to pre-plan this. So this wasn't a spur of the moment to me. I got to imagine it couldn't have been. It just couldn't have been.
Yeah. So I don't know if this was like all along, like that they were going to go out to dinner in Miami and that this was always going to be part of it, that, okay, we're going to get Yara to the strip club. And then Jovi is like very excited about this idea and ultimately it doesn't. But I feel like that, you know, this was like a little bit more premeditated than just like a spur in the moment decision of like, let's get Yara to the strip club.
Yeah, I co-sign that. I do think that as well, because it just, I don't know. It's and like my favorite part of their entire storyline, Rob, to be honest with you, is Gwen. And the next time on, we see Gwen talk about, maybe I was wrong. Maybe my son is the problem.
Yeah, no, he is the problem.
1,000%. 1,000%. Yeah. The other thing we learn is that Jovi did not sleep at their hotel the night of the incident, because they got to the hotel, he left her, and she went to bed. So we don't know where Jovi's been now, what he's doing. Yeah, this was not ready for the responsibilities of not only fatherhood, but even partnership at all. Mm-hmm. He's not ready. He needs to move back to his old apartment and go back to his old ways, because he's not willing to accept the new roles of this relationship. I will say, I did see a Reddit comment, Rob, that really sums them up well for me.
Yeah.
Jovi was wrong to think that Yara would not change after their relationship advanced to motherhood. And Yara was wrong to think that Jovi would change after becoming a father. Like, both of them made the wrong mistake of thinking that they would be exactly the way they thought it would go out, because they're not. It's not going that way.
Yeah. And let me just also say that Yara like was much cooler about this than if I was going to go take my wife on a night out to the strip club. This went a lot better for Yara than it would have gone for me. Okay. Jovi, you could say Yara's no fun all you want. She actually entertained the thought of visiting the strip club.
No, Yara, I feel like was, and I do not remember a lot of the last season at this point, because, you know, all of it blurs together. Mm-hmm. But I remember the night of the reunion was kind of the place where we started turning away from Julia fans and becoming Yara fans, and I'm backing Yara.
Yara wasn't all perfect that night either. She had a couple of you know, she was getting into it about I think her and Yara, her and Julia were sort of like tag teaming Rebecca on the plastic surgery from right.
Yes, the gyms. I couldn't remember who said what, but I remember them teaming up on that front.
Yeah, it was definitely Julia. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was not great. But bless her heart for dealing with everything that Jovi's throwing her way. Truly. Truly. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens with them next week.
My wife is no fun. She doesn't even, when we go to the strip club, she won't even give any money in the stripper's G string. And then she doesn't want to lap dance, but we go. Grow up.
Your Jovi impression is 10 out of 10. I forgot to put that out at the beginning. You've nailed the essence of Jovi. Truly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's terrible. But I do love Gwen coming like, maybe it's my son is the problem. I didn't even think about that.
Like, no kidding.
Maybe
it took
he's
you
not.
This long.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of throwing money around, Rob, let's go to Kalani and Asuelu here. And we're finally at the Christmas reunion.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Asuelu's mom wanted Asuelu to make it rain.
Yeah, very much so. And this is a recurring trend. This has happened before with them where she wants money.
Yeah.
And she believes that it is his duty as her son to provide for the family.
Yes. Yes. Asuelu's mom is such a great TV character.
Mm-hmm. She's very fun to watch. I don't like when Tammy is with her, though. I feel like Tammy winds it up in a not great direction.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, again, like, I think I have a hard time of like imagining like this is like these are real people going through like real situations. I am just like on the edge of my seat, just so tickled by everything that's going on. And again, I don't know if like I am like the target audience for this show or like I am like somebody who is like just not getting the show. But I loved all of this also.
Yeah, and I think, no, honestly, I enjoyed the Kalani and Asuelu segment the most this episode, I think, mm-hmm. out of every couple. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot of fun. Like, there were moments of seriousness, but a lot of comedy, too.
Yeah.
Which yeah. I loved very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really, that the great thing about Asuelu's mom is that she just comes out and says, like, okay, well, now I think that you need to give me money. Yeah. Like, okay, well, and then Tammy is like, what? Oh, you don't want to give your mom money? What is wrong with you?
It's so funny because initially Tammy goes, slowly whispers to her mom, this is a nice place. And her mom was like, behave. Be on your good behavior. Because again, they've got a,
yes.
Yeah. They got a talking to from Asuelu to, hey, no funny business during this visit. But then, so they're having the meal. They're about to have a meal. And then Asuelu was like, hey, mom, do you want to do the prayer? And I think it was Kalani who was like, she's the guest. She is not doing the prayer. So Asuelu does the prayer. They're having a very quiet meal. And we learn what the plan is for Asuelu's mom when she goes back to Samoa. So her plan is mm-hmm. she's going to be working. She's going to weave mats.
I like that you say Samoa like that. Like, I feel like that my whole life, like I've learned about the island of Samoa from season 19 of Survivor. And yeah. I see all the people on the show pronounce it Samoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I learned.
You, me and Mel, we did the podcast about Survivor Samoa.
We did. We did. And it would have been better if it
was, I'm the king of Samoa.
Samoa was great in Lord of the Rings helping Frodo out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That yeah. guy.
I love it. I don't even know how to say it anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that we're learning more. We're repainting our Samoa experience with, mm-hmm. with this family, because that old Samoa experience, not so great. Not so great. Mm-hmm.
You need to give me money. I'm gonna beat up your wife.
Now, why did that sound like something that could have been said? So then we talk about the money, and here's what was interesting to me. We get a little bit of insight as to why Asuelu is a little hesitant to give his mom money.
Yeah.
So aside from the fact that...
Is that one of the reasons why? Yeah.
He has none. He has limited funds to give to the kids, for sure. Then they talked about, if we were to give you money, we'd give it to you piece by piece, because... apparently his mom has a history of giving money away to church. And he was like, well, mom used to give the money away and then we'd be eating just rice. We didn't have enough money for us. So he didn't like that.
Yeah. And Tammy's like, no, you don't get to say it. You give your money to mom and then she does whatever. And you don't get to ask what she does with it once you give it to her. You just give it to her and that's it. I get the sense that is Tammy getting some of the money from the mom?
It's gotta be Tammy, as Kalani calls her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's gonna get a little bit of that coin for sure. It sounds like that's what the arrangement is, right? This is not all for his mom at all. So ultimately, they decide to break the tension. It's starting to get a little obvious. You're eating food, it was quiet. Now it's all about money, it's getting weird. Now Asuelu decides, we're gonna play the white elephant game. Also known as, I believe, what is it called? The Yankee Swap as well.
Yeah, Yankee Swap. I did like that. Asuelu's mom talked about how her true love is bingo.
Yes. Are you a bingo guy? Have you played bingo?
I played bingo when I was a young child. I used to go to bingo with my great grandmother. that my like like my great grandmother would sleep over my house, and then my parents would drop her off at like the church for bingo, and then I would go and do bingo with her. I did that like at least a couple of times.
See, I've played bingo, but only ever, you know, amongst family at home. So I've never seen public bingo before.
It's a scene. You got like people with like, you know, like 9 pieces of paper, and they got their marker and they're stamping, and some people, I mean, it's wild.
Is it just for leisure, or is there a payout?
Payout, big time. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Huh. Win money. It's like you buy like your sheets of like printed sheets, and then like there's like a pot, and then however you know, it's like divided up. And so I don't know if there's like a, what's it, a rake for the like church or the synagogue or wherever it's like, it's you know, whatever is the school, whoever's like put organizing it, and then you know, you win a payout.
I might be looking into bingo again. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that that's a fun night out for you and Liana.
Yeah, definitely would be good. Would be good. Liana,
I'll tell you, Puya, that take Liana out to bingo. That's going to be a great night out. Trust me, it's going to go a lot better than any other crazy ideas that you might come up with. Go out to bingo.
That I might come up with. That'd be funny though. That'd be fun. I imagine, Rob, I do this right. Like, I think you have it right where you don't think of these people as real people and you think of them as TV people, but I often put myself in the shoes of the couples, and I put myself in the shoes of, you know, me and Liana at the strip club instead of Jovi and Yara.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I'd be the one being like, let's leave. But like, cause I think Liana's very, very, you know, chilled. She like, when she's in an environment, she like adapts to the environment. She like tries to make the most of the environment. So I feel like that would be, it would go very differently with me and her than it would have with Jovi and Yara.
I think if I was there with normal, I think that, okay, it would start, and then I'd be like, all right, here we go. And then Nicole's, why are you giving her all, why are you giving her that money? Why are you giving her that? Like, give me that money. Why are you giving that to her? Why aren't you giving, you have a handful of dollars. Why aren't you just giving that to me?
How much money do you think was in his hand? It looked like a big wad. Like,
yeah, but it was all singles that I don't know. It's probably like only like 40, 50 bucks.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I feel like again, we're normal couples. We'd probably get a better situation there. So wait, with bingo, sorry, I don't mean to just sit on this bingo thing for a second.
Okay. What do you want to know about Puya? Strip clubs, how many bingo? What, let me
access your encyclopedia.
Yeah.
How many people, like, are you playing competitively against everybody, at the bingo?
Maybe a couple hundred people.
Wow. How often are payouts happening? Like, do a lot of people get bingo, or is it hard?
So there's like different games. So sometimes it's like regular straight up bingo, which is like 5 across anyway. And then the first person to get it. I think you split the pot if it's like multiple people get bingo on the same number. And then there's also like, okay, this one is like round robin where you have to like this time around, it's like, you have to like complete the circle or like X, or there might be like other different versions of the game to keep it interesting.
Well, I'm not gonna ask Liana. I'm gonna wait and see how long till she listens to the podcast. But Liana, bingo, yes or no? Text me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. There we go. That's your cue.
Okay.
Okay, so then we go back to this white elephant game. So Asuelu bought all the presents for this game. To you know, spread some cheer, have some fun, comes out of Santa, and
that was funny. I think
this was very funny. It helped them a lot. It helped cut the tension a lot, and I thought it was going too well.
Well, I thought that mom was gonna say, Asuelu, why do you buy all these presents and you didn't give me any money?
Yeah, do you have the receipts? I would like to return these for money instead.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, Asuelu did such a good job this episode.
Well, he started, and then he too fell victim to being a stupid idiot.
Yep. And a you might stupid, be asking audience.
Stupid moron idiot. of that, like, okay, here we go. And Kehlani, this present is for you. It is baby blanket.
What a dumbass. Like, everything was great. He put her in a good mood. The family's in a good mood. And then what does he do? Decides, I'm going to publicly do what she's asked me not to and publicly bring up having another kid again.
Too bad Melanie and TJ weren't there to say, Asuelu, do you really think that that's a good idea right now? I mean, you just have two kids and you're trying to buy a house and you can't even afford it. And you're trying to buy a car and you're trying to do rideshare and you just crashed your car and you don't even have any money. Like, do you really think that that's a good idea right now? Especially when your mom is asking for any sort of disposable income that you have.
That would have been a better yelling at that they would have gotten, a more realistic one. What happens here is awful because he does that. Kalani's upset, says, why did you bring this up publicly? Then Tammy and mom so Tammy and mom decide this is the time where we take his side. Maybe we get some money. And they're like, why shouldn't you have a kid?
Yeah.
You should have a kid. That should be okay.
Yeah.
And then Kolini steps up to defend and says, well, it's her body. She can do what she wants. And then Tammy says, why are you talking? And then Lucina, Aswila's mom, like, goes over and says, yeah, why? We're talking to Kalani. Why is she talking? And then Kalani's like, well, as long as you're talking, I'm talking. All of this happens. And Tammy's about to go in on Kalani when Aswila breaks it up and pretty much, like, carries both of them outside and
sends them out. You missed the whole part about in Samoa, a woman does what the man wants to do. And so that if he wants to have a bigger family, that's what you need to do. And if he went back to Samoa, then he could find a woman who does what he wants.
Yeah, they full on to Kalani's face were pretty much like, yeah, we can find you a son. Find another wife, please. Full on, like, go somewhere else. Because then also, I suppose mom brings up the fact that, you know, well, you do what the man, like, my husband wanted kids. I had 9 kids, and look at me. I turned out great. I was like, I don't know, Lucina. You're kind of like here at Christmas asking for money when there's no money on the table. Like, I don't know if it turned out great.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say, like, okay at best. So,
Yeah. I mean,
and then
I'm wondering though, like, could I back Lucina in bingo? Like, if I put in like $10 a week to, like, for her bingo games, could we split the pot if she wins one?
I think that would be a great idea. If we sponsor Lucina for her bingo runs, I think there's some money there. Both for Lucina and
it would be like, then when I try to pay out, like, Tammy's going to come here and beat me up.
Tammy's like, yeah, we've decided it's a 70-30 split, 30 for you now. What are you going to do about it?
Am I a weirdo for that? I laugh every time I hear about how Tammy is going to beat up Kehlani, because I just said that just the phrase beat up to me is, like, so juvenile. Like, it just seems like something that would happen, like, in first grade, like second grade, like, that they keep talking about how that, oh, and she said she's gonna beat up my wife. Like, it just seems to me, like, I know it's a serious thing, but it just every time I hear that phrasing, it makes me laugh.
It does sound like, I will say, the phrase beat up or I'm gonna beat you up is very much more of a young thing, like a child thing, than it is used in serious situations. I feel like serious situations has different language to it. And it's just the way she does it with the addition of the reactions everyone else has to they don't care. I do see why there's comedy in that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a wild situation. Not to mention Lo was there. Lo is always fun. I'm sure he did not love all this going down.
Yeah, I do like Lo a lot. And I love that, again, I love that no one else inserted themselves into the drama. It was the same people from last time. Basically, Kalani and Tammy's tension. Asuelu and his mom's tension, Kalani's tension, but then that was it. No one else added themselves in to make more drama. I thought that they escalated it well by just kicking them out, basically. And we'll see where it goes from there. it doesn't look like it's going to go in a good place. Spoiler alert. It looks like everything was smooth sailing. And now Asuelu got guilt tripped by his mom again. Mm-hmm. And in the next episode is going to suggest moving to Samoa.
Not great.
No, he really. He just like wakes up every day and picks a different situation he wants to be in. One week he wants the minivan. One week he wants the ride share. One week he wants the house. One week he wants to move to. He can't decide, Rob.
Yeah. So I always like to think about like if we were ever going to have like some sort of like a swap and like what potential partners might be better with each other. I'm wondering if maybe. Asuelu and Julia might be the matchup that because Asuelu, he's got a baby blanket. Julia, she's been looking for a place to have a baby. That Asuelu wants to buy a house, a big house that he can't afford. So does Julia. Like, I think this might be a perfect match for each other.
Yes, they would definitely want the same things, and it would be very deep-seated in delusional. Unrealistic expectations of we can afford a house and babies, that's going to be easy.
That being said, when Asuelu talks about time to move back to Samoa, I think Julia is going to say, oh no, I am not moving in with parents, like not moving in with mother. That's it.
Big deal breaker for Julia. That's where they would clash for sure.
Yeah,
is when it came to the move. If they stayed in the States, they'd be fine together.
I'm trying to think of if there's anybody else that like if it comes to me, maybe I'll shout it out.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, while it comes back to you, let's go to the next and final couple here. They opened the show with them. I could not do anything but have them be the last couple we talk about. It's Angela and Michael. Now, Rob,
oh my God,
take it away.
What is wrong with both of these people? Like, they're not having a baby. There's no baby. They're never having a baby. Like,
It's never going to happen.
They're not having a baby. And I have to say, I like this a lot better than when they were just fighting, where Angela was just horrible to Michael for like 8 weeks straight on the show. That was terrible. But also, like, I feel like that we're just like leading Michael along here on like even humoring him that there's going to be a baby in this picture. And that I loved it last week with the goofballs, and they talk him into going to, you know, donate a sperm sample. And boy, we really got into the graphic like nature of how this was all going to play out.
Yeah, there were moments of this where I thought, hold on, this isn't 90 Day Single Life or Bears All that's online and just unedited. How is this on TV? It's happening. I hate that Angela's pretty much made it clear too that this is just to, you know, keep him quiet and it's never going to happen. I hate that that's a thing. I did not need to be there for Michael's first ever self-pleasure succession, but here we are. That happened.
Here we are. Yep. I did really enjoy the lower third of 2 minutes later.
Like, they did him dirty.
Yeah. Also, like, again, I have to give Michael all the credit in the world. He said, like, my concern is that. He said, I am very worried that Angela is going to laugh at me. And boy, like, was that a premonition? Because, this woman is in her 50s. Like, how immature is this woman?
Yeah. And I feel like I'm very surprised that the car on red 2 minutes later, because I really felt bad for Michael. I was like, the performance anxiety now.
It might have been 2 years later.
Yeah, I would have been like, dude, we need to reschedule. Like, this is not happening today. We need to leave.
Yeah. I mean, and then she was just so immature about the whole thing. Like, hey, have fun out there, masturbate boy. Like, it's like, what is wrong with this woman?
This is your husband. This is your life partner. How is this what you want to call him? Why are you doing this to him on national TV? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, and then, you know, we got like all the whole background on him because like they needed him to have been like, you know, abstinent for 3 to 5 days. He says it's been over a year. So that all happens.
How long has it been? And he said, a year. And he said, but, you know, I do, occasionally have, wet dreams. Like, well, like, how recently was that? Like, well, a few months ago. And then Angela's like, but do you think that's normal? Shouldn't he be having more wet dreams? What do you think he's having more wet dreams? don't you think that that's a thing? I'm like, well, I guess so. Yeah, that is
unusual. Like, I don't know what her end game is here. Like, give your husband trauma? Like, why are you doing this to him? Also, then we have the additional, her asking the doctor, there's not going to be any women back there helping him, are there? Like, where do you think he's at? He's at a clinic.
Yeah, I have to say, this woman in the clinic was like very good natured. You could see like in like another world at another clinic. They have much less of a sense of humor for Angela. Like, no, ma'am. There are actually not women to help with the semen collection in the medical back room. No. No, we actually don't have that. We know how Angela really reveres the sanctity of the medical industry when the doctor walks in, like, "Oh, you're pretty hot. Oh boy, I gotta tell my husband. You're gonna be fondling me. Whoa."
Yeah, she is the worst person to take with. Like, if you need medical stuff done, sentence
right there, Puya. She is the worst person, period.
Oh, period. Yes. I'm okay with that. I'm going to agree with that 100%. I didn't need to hear their conversation while he was in the process of collecting. That was, again, now I have trauma. Like, I didn't love that for me personally. I don't think for anybody personally. I feel like they could have just given us the 2 minutes later without the middle part. We've been fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very disturbing, the whole thing.
Is that the most disturbing it gets, or do you think it's worse than when she's telling her daughter a retelling of the entire experience in the car?
I mean, I think that more disturbing was a couple of weeks ago when they were in the bath of when she wanted him to pop his unit. She talked about the parts of her anatomy that were on fire. I felt like overall that was more disturbing. This was just more bizarre.
Yeah, I hope they stay together forever, because I guarantee you, if they break up, if Angela is single at any point, they're gonna put her on 90-day single life, and I cannot have that.
Sexy Mima is out clothes shopping now.
Yeah, she is. And that's the next scene they go. So she's going clothes
shopping. Worst part of the episode, Angela trying on clothes. Angela's fashion.
Well, yeah, because not a lot happens there. Well, congratulations to Angela. She goes down half, right? She went from size 22 to 11, I believe. So good on her for that.
The kudos to Angela.
Mm-hmm. But she decides she's going to bribe Skyla, her daughter, with an outfit to take her in exchange to take her to the IVF clinic for the baby thing.
Yeah.
But here's my question to you, Rob. If she has no intention of going through with this, if she knows it's not going to happen, why does she need to take Skyla there?
Well, she's been trying to dupe Skyla, where then finally Skyla agrees, because she says, like, look, just come with me so that we can shut up Michael about this baby thing. And Skyla's like, oh, okay. We could put this to bed. All right, fine. I'm in. I'm in. But you know, finally, this is like the I have a different way of trying to describe this that I'm not going to say. But this is just the this is she's tr- that this is going to be a bait and switch.
Yeah, no, 100% is. And we've talked about the prerequisites Angela has in place for having a baby. It has to be, and she specifies it here, and it has to be a blood-related egg that has to be included in the equation. So every other form of having a baby is not on the table at all. And then we see in the next time on, when she goes to this clinic, she's going to be told of the potential risks of being a being pregnant at this stage of her life. I think there was mentions of diabetes potentially and high blood pressure.
Oh, you don't say that this 53-year-old smoker that has just had the gastric sleeve surgery might not be a good candidate for a pregnancy?
Mm-hmm. Still smoking. We saw her smoking in that car, Rob. She's never having that other surgery at this point. It's never going to happen.
You don't say. Wow. Yeah. Would have thought that, you know, this would be a slam dunk.
Yeah, it's a complete shock to absolutely nobody. Absolutely nobody. Mm-hmm. But that's where we're left with them. And Rob, I have to apologize. I forgot about one of the couples. So we're going to end the session with Tiffany and Ronald.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. This is actually like kind of like a interesting conversation with Tiffany and Ronald, where they went to go see the uncle. And I was watching this part with Nicole, who was actually like, she had a different reaction than I did to this. Ooh. So I think this is interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. So they have now decided to go to couples counseling, but the caveat here, or the kicker, is that the marriage counselor is Ronald's uncle. So Tiffany kind of, you know, prefaces this with, you better not be going into this thinking that you're just going to have your side taken and that's why we're going to your uncle.
Yeah.
And genuinely think that's what he thought was going to happen and wanted. So
I think, he definitely thought that that's what was going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they get into the session, and basically the baseline of what Tiffany's saying is she doesn't want them to compare who is above who. But then she also says, but I'm a blessing in this man's life, because before me, he had a gambling addiction. He was this, that, and the other, and I fixed him. And then Ronald's retort is that he doesn't understand how a female, his words, not mine, how a female could tell a male how to be. And I'm not gonna lie, the uncle had me fooled, because then the uncle comes in and says, well, as a wife, in the confession, as a wife, Tiffany needs to boost the husband's ego. Wives need to boost the husband's ego. I was like, okay, uncle, what decade are we in? What are you saying right now?
Yeah. You know, at first I was you know, as I was watching, I'm like, okay, like I sort of read that as like, yeah, just humor him and, you know, let him feel like he's doing a good job. And then he'll actually start doing a good job, where it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, just let him think that he's doing. And then because of that, you know, you've given him some positive reinforcement, then he'll actually start doing the thing. Or he'll actually start being a better dad, because you're making him feel, you know, you're sort of like giving him some like positive encouragement. And this was where Nicole was like, what a crock this guy, like, she heard that a lot differently than I did.
Yeah. I mean, and the whole thing with Ronald is he believes that he is the head of the household, not for anything else, but the fact that he is the penis haver in the relationship. Mm-hmm. So that is his right to be the head of household. But then Tiffany's whole thing is, no, I just want us to work on this together. And I feel like you are not even working on it. You're just leaning back on this fact that you are the man. So your role is head of household and head of all the decisions. I don't want that. Now, the uncle then does give some good advice here.
Yeah.
Tells them to stop criticizing each other, number one. First thing, stop criticizing each other. Tells Ronald to be supportive, which then Ronald, like the five-year-old that he is, mutters under his breath, my uncle's taking your side more than mine, huh? Like, it's not a score sheet, man. This is the whole thing was, it's not a score sheet. Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I do think there's sometimes that Tiffany really, like, like the poop diapers, like that's an, I'm sure that's annoying, but like you shouldn't let that be the reason that you get divorced. Like there's bigger issues in this relationship. So like I kind of got what he was saying about like don't like really like sweat the small stuff, but you know, overall Ronald can't take any criticism whatsoever.
Right. Well, that's the thing. If the whole issue began and ended with just the poop diapers, it's like, okay, well, damn, really, we're having good. Everything else is fine. Like, why
eventually is this the kid's deal? Not going to be in diapers. Like, right. You know, you grow out of that problem.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing with him is that his argument of, well, if it was a boy, it's different. Well, no, baby's baby. Relax. Mm-hmm. Like, baby's baby. Just say you don't want to do it. And you know, stop making excuses for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, Ronald has very few good points.
No, truly, he has no leg to stand on here, because then the other thing he does when they start leaving is he believes that he's constantly being told he's an a-hole when he doesn't think he deserves that. And mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest problem with this man, is that he thinks everyone's out to get him and are trying to make a fool of him. But the only person in clown makeup is you, and you did that to yourself, Ronald McDonald. Like, that's all there is to it. You did this to yourself.
Now, so. I don't see how these two are able to pull out of the nosedive.
Unless, like, the big thing is one of two things needs to happen. Either Tiffany agrees to move to South Africa permanently and have him be the head of household, or Ronald stops these shenanigans, goes to hopefully gets accepted to go to the United States, moves in, and has an equal partnership. And I don't see either of those things happening, because I don't think either of them are looking at any other avenue.
I don't think he wants to leave.
No, he's literally bending over backwards to buy a truck, start a business, build a room. He's doing everything he can to lay roots in South Africa that it wouldn't make sense for them to move. He really doesn't want them to leave. I don't think he has any interest in going. We've seen him do the mock interview. He could not care less. He was vaping during that interview. So
I don't think he wants to leave. You know, and we haven't seen what it would look like where, you know, if Tiffany has her support system and has her mom around, and then also like, okay, then Ronald is there and maybe she's not counting on him as much for things. Like, maybe that might be a different look, but overall, I feel like that this is like a very hopeless situation. And, you know, Tiffany, and it sinks that, you know, they have the baby with Ronald. And so it is a much more complicated, like when Mike and Natalie, they could just break up tomorrow and it's over and they never have to see each other again. Well, you know, then you have Daniel, who, you know, certainly has warm feelings towards Ronald, which are definitely reciprocated that Ronald, feels like, has like, you know, fatherly feelings towards Daniel. This is just a crappy situation, you know, that this is just like not a fun story to talk about, because while there are certainly like dumb moments here, it's like with the kids involved, it makes it like a much less like humorous situation.
Yeah, and that's where we kind of stop we take it out of just, you know, they're dumb people on TV, and it's like, yeah, there's a real life that these kids have to deal with and they're being put up against. And The Next Time On is awful, because The Next Time On shows more of a yelling match between the two, and I don't love that. I will say Tiffany said something along the whole I'm a blessing in this man's life. I did see some comments online where people were really raking her over the coals about that. Like, what makes you think you're a blessing? I do understand that, because when it comes to me and Liana, I do think Liana was kind of a blessing in my life, because she did teach me a lot. She did pull me out of my not immature ways, maybe simple ways. Like, I just didn't really live life to my fullest, and I do think that she brought that out of me. So I think that's what she meant. But when someone calls themselves a blessing in any form, it sounds super conceited. So from that angle, but I do see what she was saying. So I wanted to speak on that.
It didn't bother me. I thought, where's the lie that is a blessing in Ronald's life?
Right. Yeah. Their marriage is looking to be over. They talk about it being over. I feel like the minute Ronald utters the words "know your place" in the next episode, I was like, yeah, just skip to the end of this chapter. I'm done. And I think ultimately when we look back at the season, Rob, your take versus Liana's take at the start of the season, where she was so excited to see them and you not really caring about them, I think you win that battle. Cause I don't
want to like, make it like a battle of like, right. Like, I'm sure there are certainly people who, really enjoy, like, you know, I think that you could watch this show for, you know, different things. And I really look at this show as that, this is like the train wreck that I can't look away from. And so for me, this is not fun train wreck, in terms of, but if you watch it for the relationship drama and you're certainly like invested in Tiffany and Ronald, like I totally can understand. Like I actually thought we got more from them than I thought we would, because I didn't see them like having all this time in South Africa. But just in terms of like, there has not been like a lot of funny moments in their story, and they've also never even had like high points in their relationship where you can point to all the other couples, and sometimes they have a win and sometimes they take an L, and here there has been very few moments where they've even like gotten along well enough where I don't think that they're going to have a squishy at any point in this time.
Now, I think the high points and the only high points are when Daniel and Ronald interact together, and how much Daniel loves having Ronald around as a father.
He decorated nice. And I think that that was the extent of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't even go to the grocery store.
Hmm. And I, for that reason, Rob, for everything you just encapsulated, is why I did not want to end with them, but I forgot about them. So that's why they ended up being the last ones we talked about.
I get it.
Yeah.
We're 14 episodes in. I'm trying to figure out when do you think we're getting to the tell-all?
Let me just quickly look up what the last season.
Yeah. So last season was. It looks like that there were 15 episodes and then three parts of the tell-all.
Okay. Well, yeah, last season for some reason did have a three-parter, and it was always on.
Well, I'm looking at Happily Ever After.
Yes. So I honestly couldn't tell you how many episodes they're trying to pull out of this. We didn't hear anything about next week on the finale. So that's not happening next week. I'm going to go ahead and assume we'll get maybe three more episodes than the reunion.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Listen, despite the fact that they have other 90-day franchises coming back again, they're going to milk every season of anything they put out for everything it's worth. I'm trying to quickly see what the 90-day, the other way premiere date is. I don't think it's going to end up impacting it, but I got to look that up potentially here. Oh, August 29th. So I would say around then it's probably where they'll end it and start the new season.
So it's a busy August.
Busy August, and then it'll be busy September, because we're going to be back with 90 Day the Other Way, which is again a full cast of six couples. So damn, the fun doesn't stop in these 90 Day streets, right?
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this was so great to get back and talk about everything that's going on.
Yeah, Rob, it's always a pleasure to talk 90 Day with you, man. I feel like we started this in December together. It's been fun.
I get so much enjoyment out of it. I really do, Puya. And especially like I watch it like late at night, and sometimes like Nicole and I watch it. Sometimes I have a drink watching the 90 Day Fiance, and I'm just like, if we did these podcasts 12 midnight, like you'd hear me, I'd be like screaming.
It would be fun to arrange it one time. Maybe we'd have to record it then discard it, but I would be down. It would be very fun to talk right after. I think it'd be a good time.
Well, I'd love to, once we get to the finale, to the tell-all, I'd love to come back again.
Absolutely. And I would love to have you there for the tell. I think we'll have a lot to talk about there.
Yeah.
Rob, this is the point where usually I tell the guests to let everyone know where they can find them, what they're up to. You clearly need no introduction, but can you let me know what you're up to? Because I know you're up to a lot of stuff.
Sure. Just a lot of Survivor. We're going to talk about the 8th best season of Survivor. That would be Survivor the Amazon. Talk about a bunch of stupid idiots. That is certainly holds true with a number of parties there. Breaking down Survivor the Amazon. I'm going to talk to the great Rail Mary and Mackie Morgan about that coming up on Tuesday. We had a lot of fun over the weekend also on Renap. Renap was back with Census 2021. Talked about, we had 25 questions from the audience, and then we tried to figure out who had the finger on the pulse of the people. Was it me or was it Uncle Kiwi?
I'm excited to check that out. I always love the census. I love the last one, and I'm going to enjoy this one. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. So we had a lot of fun there. And then, of course, we will continue with all things Big Brother rolling along.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And I got to say, it was great hearing Christian on the pod talking about Cambodia.
Yes, we missed you.
I was very sad.
Do you think the podcast would have been shorter or longer if you were there?
Honestly, it would have been, could it have been longer? I can't even picture that. It might have been longer. I don't think it would have been shorter. I don't think there's any world where
I would have tried to keep it tighter as a courtesy I know Christian is like a glutton for punishment, but like, I don't know if, like at some point, like Puya, I think wants to hit the eject button on a 6-hour podcast.
I mean, honestly, having streamed, 12-hour sessions, 24-hour stream, I'm built for it. I can make it happen. Yeah. And like, especially because now with this new place, I have a dedicated room for podcasting, for streaming. I wouldn't be disturbing Liana's sleep. Yes. So it would have been fun. We could have been going until 3 a.m. That could have been a thing that could have happened.
Might have gone 8 hours.
Yeah. I mean, it's my favorite season too, so I'd have a lot to say, but I'm very okay with it because I ended up getting a 6-hour podcast that I wasn't sitting in on. That I get to listen to. So I win anyway. It works out for me.
All right.
Yeah. And as far as projects I'm up to right now, we talked Sexy Beasts this past week, Rob. I talked with Liana for the first episode, with Jacob for the second episode. Me and Jenny got to talk about all of that. And then for episodes 5 and 6, we're recording this week with none other than Chappelle himself. We're getting Chappelle to watch the show. Yeah. We're making him do it so he can talk about it. I'm very excited for his takes. It should be great. And aside from that, I'm back on my streaming nonsense, Rob. I'll be streaming 3 times a week, if not more, on twitch.tv/Puya. And I'll be tweeting everything to do with Big Brother on twitter.com/Puyaism or @Puyaism for regular speak. And I'll be back with the morning updates on Friday with Taryn as well. And then season 6 of The Masked Singer will be back in September. Actually, they've decided it'd be a smart decision to premiere the same night as Survivor, which is a poor choice because I will pick Survivor still. But me and Liana will be back to talk about that when that is back on air.
Amazing.
That's it. All right. Last order of business here for you lovely, lovely listeners. If you could please leave a rating and review for the podcast, it means a lot. It helps us get found. It gives me feedback to know what you like, what you don't like, what you're suggesting. I'll take all the criticism, all the feedback. Please and thank you. Go over to robhasawebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, number 0, Day Fiance. Appreciate you for doing that. We are at our destination. It's time to get off the Hot Mess Express. But we'll be back next week to talk about even more mess on this show. Until then, take care, stay hydrated, and remember, there's a lot of good in your life. Because once again, I'm going to end it the same way. You are not Jovi. That is a good place to be. Take care, everyone. Bye.